This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the home episode, the B Podcast. As always, I'll be your host, the Ted Smith. Back in the left square today, there's my name is Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What's going on, everybody?
Down there, getting the studio all set up. Put in the manual labor that we'll get to later. Matt, Cobb, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
I think the first thing we have to address this week is the world has been on pins and needles. The anticipation has been killing everybody. And the answer is yes. Matt and I had watermelon burgers, frankly, because Matt made them.
God, you're damn right we did, Ted. That was quite an adventure. I made them. The recipe, like... You know, it didn't look that complicated. I got all the ingredients ahead of time, and it didn't give you a time of, like, how long it would take. And there was just a few sentences in there where, like, that sentence was 15 minutes worth of effort. And I'd say it was worth it, though. It was a fun experience.
Oh, for sure. It's just funny. Like, so me and my buddy Sean, we went over there, get there. Course, got to jump in the lake, start swimming around, and Sean likes to fish. So then he grabs his fishing gear, and Matt's like, I'm gonna go upstairs, start making these burgers. You guys just fish. I was like, all right. I also like there was I don't know if it was you or your dad, but like seemed like two people were like, get out of the water before he throws that line in. Like he's gonna hook you.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if my dad echoed that, but I certainly said it.
Yeah, I think you both threw that in there. So I was like, all right, I got you. And we're sitting on the dock, prime part of the day, by the way. Like, I don't know if you noticed, like, I had to put the umbrella back up. I felt like my shins and the top of my feet were just burning alive. So we're trying to fish. I have no idea if anything was eating our bait or if it was just the weeds underneath because there was boats out there. So anyhow, long story longer. After about like 40 minutes, we look up there. You'd see Matt just like going in and out to the grill, back in. So I was like, we should go check in. And like the burgers were just hitting the grill. They were perfectly shaped. And, you could tell there had been some discussion amongst the group think on how these burgers should be cooked.
Yeah.
But I don't. So here's my deal. What kind of cheese did we put on those?
What was it called? Chevre?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was like kind of like a goat cheese.
Yeah, I think it's a type of goat cheese. Chevre? I don't know how to say it. Cobb, do you know how to pronounce that?
No, I don't know cheeses very well.
Okay. Chevre with an accent over it.
Yeah, so like we did them up, put them on focaccia bread, and like... Listen, here's the deal. It's not a burger. It's obviously still watermelon. But man, like on the bun and everything, like it feels like a burger. It eats like a burger. Obviously, it's a little messy as it's watermelon, but I really liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, when I woke up that morning, I looked outside and I thought, this is watermelon burger weather. It just
I'm honestly shocked you guys put cheese on them at all. The internet's telling me it's called Chevre.
Chevre. Okay. That sounds believable. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I've seen the word more than I've heard the word. But, yeah, they were a lot of fun. Like, they had legit grill marks on them.
Yeah, it was wild. I've seen pineapple cooked like that, but it was really interesting to see, like, watermelon, like, come out like a burger. And, I mean... Wait. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm very confused by this. Of all the parts that surprised you about this, the fact that putting watermelon on a grill gave it grill marks is the shocker?
Yeah, just because watermelon's so, like, I don't know. I thought it would just fall apart. So I get why you put the oil on there, but honestly, I was shocked that it looked that much like a burger.
Oh, so it was kind of like we were talking about where you do some kind of oil to sort of sear in the flavor or whatever?
Yeah.
What did you guys do for condiments? I mean, cheese I wasn't even expecting, so now I'm like, you kind of opened up the, you know, Pandora's box.
Matt, go ahead. Flip everything up.
Yeah, it was I forget the name of that one too, but it's like a combination of, you know, it had me go grill an orange, like cut an orange in half and grill it so that it got charred. You got to put olive oil on it. And then came in and, like, first I used the orange zest and put that in the bowl, then juiced the grilled orange into this mixture with, I think, some olive oil or something like that, and then salt and pepper and fennel fronds, which are like the little sprouty things at the end of the fennel that's like the herb part of it. And that was a cup of fennel fronds to, like, create that with herb scissors from a big thing of fennel from the store is quite an undertaking. That's a lot of fennel fronds, and they are not very dense. So, yeah, I just read the thing that Ted sent me, like, you know, and went for it. And, yeah, but it was like some fennel frond, you know, kind of almost like salad-y type thing, like mixture of various things. And then it was that and the Chevre cheese. And, yeah, I think that was all we put on, right?
Yeah, like we didn't like span out and put on like ketchup and mustard like a normal burger, but yeah, all that stuff together was super flavorful.
That was the thing I was going to ask is, was it a hitter?
Like, did it hit well?
Did you guys like it?
Yes, I did.
I think Matt and I probably liked them the best. With some chuckles from the peanut gallery. I don't know if everybody agreed with our watermelon burger experiment.
Yeah.
It's another one of those things, too, that honestly, I was just, number one, thanks again for making them, Matt. But it was just nice to eat something different. And, like, we told, after the boat ride, we still got a burger in, like a regular burger and some men's room sausage. So, I mean, there was still meat around. But, the more you get in to try to live a better lifestyle and stuff, it's fun experimenting with that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And you guys did do buns or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you need ciabatta.
A standard bun or, oh, nope. Ciabatta.
Yeah. Ciabatta, like toasted so that it's just like a nice, thick, sturdy bread. Cause man, yeah, those things are very juicy. But the buns held up to the last bite. Like, ciabatta bread just brings it.
And I'm usually a ciabatta hater because I think they're too hard. But honestly, these watermelon burgers, if you used a regular bun, it would just be a soggy mess. Like, you, I think the ciabatta was by far maybe the key ingredient to this whole thing.
Yeah, you need some bread with backbone for sure.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, if you're not eating red meat or you're not a meat eater or, I don't know, maybe you're just trying to, like, it just... Like, just sitting there with it in your hands and everything, like, it filled the urge and tasted really good of having a burger.
Oh, I bet. Also, it finally felt like summer this weekend. You know what I mean? Like, this summer took a while to get here, but now we are, like, in the dog days of summer, and it felt good as hell.
Yeah, and that was also August 1st. That was the first time my head had been underwater in all of 2020.
Jesus. That's wild.
Which is alarming for me. Usually I'm in some kind of water, but... Hey, it was great. Actually, Lake Sammamish was – I was actually pleasantly surprised how warm it was. I thought it'd be colder.
Yeah, it's not very shocking anymore. When I was jumping in April, it was a totally different ball game. But now it's like, yeah, this is great. Go swimming.
Kyle, what'd you do, man? Did you get out on the water?
Yeah, I took so my old truck from high school is called White Lightning, and then all the scooters I've owned, with the exception of one, are part of the Black Thunder series. So I have Black Thunder 1 through now I'm on BTV, Black Thunder 5. And so I took Black Thunder 5 and put it in the back of White Lightning, drove up to the ferry dock in Anacortes. The ferry was full, which is why I had the scooter. So I popped out the scooter. The girl I'm seeing and I jumped on the scoot, hopped on the ferry, and rolled out to Orcas Island. And stayed at a house out there, cruised the island on the scooter for the weekend. Had a lot of fun, did a cool hike. If people are familiar with the area, we did like Turtleback and Turtlehead, and then spent some time. You know, there's a big state park up there. We got to go get in the water there and cruise through the downtown, ate, and just kind of, I don't know, just really enjoyed the island. So, yeah, it was sweet, man. Really enjoyed it. A lot of fun.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. Like, I had been down to Madison Park a couple weeks ago and stuff and was having a beer down there. Shout out to McGilvers and the outside deck.
I love that spot.
Yeah, but definitely, like, sitting there on the dock and just jumping in and out of the lake. I mean, it was just a ton of fun. We revived the lake versus lake house versus beach house argument that went on for a while. We got into Ginger or Marianne. Like, we touched all the bases.
Dude, it's so funny that you say that, because I literally was on the beach at Orcas being like, you know, saltwater's cool, but I think I'm a lake guy. All said and done, like, I don't want to get in this saltwater. You smell the seaweed and, like, you know, stuff washes up on shore. Like, that's cool. But, man, like, the lake is just primed for swimming and water activities. So I'm all lake now. It's official.
Wow. But not only that, like, my buddy Sean, he can't swim.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It's always just shocking to me. I'm like, how can you not swim? And it's just funny. Like, we were sitting there, and I told him, I go, man, until sitting here looking at you sit on that dock watching me just, like, tread water, like, he goes, you look so, like, it's so easy and peaceful. And I go, I never realized I was taking this for granted till, like, right now. And then, like, Matt and I were saying, like, it's hard. Like, he's like, how are you guys doing that? So I was like, just ride a bicycle. But then I realized I just kind of kick a leg out, kick an arm out, like, it was hard to actually explain to somebody how I was just floating around.
Yeah, I've noticed that it's really hard to explain. The better you know something, almost the harder it is to explain, especially if it's a physical action, because it just feels so natural. Like, when you and I were talking about diving, Ted, it's like you kind of almost forget the fundamentals.
Yeah, and we got it all in, right? We cooked the watermelon burgers, we cooked regular burgers, cornhole, boat ride. I got a couple cast in. It's probably the first time I cast a line in freshwater in 20 years. I'm trying to think, am I missing anything?
Man, those were definitely the highlights. I mean, you know, we did fish at like midnight by the moonlight too. I guess that's technically encompassed, but I thought that was pretty cool. Hit up the hot tub later on in the evening.
So, all right, so real quick, the funny thing about Sean is, right, so he's sitting on the dock, then he's fishing, having fun, then we take the boat ride. So we have him strapped in. Like, at this point, Mitch is like, just, there's an extra room, maybe you guys bring a cooler on the boat and just spend the night. So, like, cool, like, caution to the wind. So then you know, honestly, like, thinking about, when was the first time we were over there, like 5 years ago?
I think six.
Six, right? So I remember jumping off the back of that boat and Cobb kind of explaining to me, like, it's easier to swim without a life vest. And I was like, it seems crazy to me. But you can ask Matt. I mean, as soon as that boat stopped, I'm out the back.
Yeah.
like, I get it now. I'm like, oh, this is easier. So then we're kind of giving Sean a hard time. And then finally, we're like, dude, you're wearing the vest. Like, the PFD. Like, just jump in. And I'll be damned, that guy, he jumped in, which was pretty big for somebody that can't swim.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah. Apparently, we forgot to tell him to hold his breath before he jumped in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a helpful tip. Again, something you just take for granted. You don't think. And we were really talking up the mental side of it, you know? Like, hey, man, you got this. And being encouraging, supportive friends. And we forgot that one minor logistical detail of like, yeah, you'll get a lot of water in your nose and mouth if you don't breathe out and or hold your breath. Like, and it's just such a like secondary thing to me that I don't, you know, it's second nature since I was a kid. And it was so funny. Like, he came out of the water and he's like, just like coughing up water. And like, his eyes are like watering when you get that, but he still had this giant smile on his face because he just got it right then and there. He became a water person.
It was just funny. Later in the day, like, we're riding up at the front of the boat and he's like, dude, you got to understand, like, my head hasn't been underwater. And like, he's like, I get it now. Why you guys keep being like, how do you not swim?
Wow, that's wild. That's honestly wild.
Yeah, it was just such a nice day. If any the podcast listeners are worried, don't be. Matt and I were on a team, and of course, we won in cornhole.
Nice work, boys. Way to get it done for the cast.
Yeah, we sure did. That was an intense game. It was a lot of fun. I knew we would emerge victorious, though. Yeah, what a day.
What's up, Ted?
I was just going to say, and if you're like me and you've only been playing mini cornhole, I was like, damn, cornhole. Yeah, you got to throw that thing. This isn't mini cornhole at all.
Yeah, it's a real game out there. Well, Ted, speaking of cornhole, you know, it makes me think of that article I sent you about the Pac-12 bubble and how they're talking about possibly playing all the Pac-12 football games this year in Seattle, which would necessitate full days of cornhole if we're going to try to tailgate, you know, whatever, like Stanford, Cal, and Arizona State. Like, that'd be fun as hell.
Right. So that's the only thing. Like, I'm pumped with the idea that all the Pac-12 games would be up here, but it's also like a circle of hell because we can't go to them.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to do any sort of socially distanced anything. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I would say this. If you have games down there by the stadiums or at Husky Stadium, you think we'd get in trouble if we were just like socially distanced tailgating?
No, I definitely think you could do some tailgating as long as it's like, you know, with your immediate family or a restaurant style. I think not only that, but it's not just the UW. It's also, you know, where the Seahawks play, CenturyLink or whatever. Do they change the name of CenturyLink?
Yeah, it's still CenturyLink. No.
Okay, yeah, T-Mobile was the one I was thinking about. And then, you know, I think Memorial Stadium, they would probably play some games too. I mean, any good high school stadium is at least a contender, and there's a couple around this area. I was surprised they chose – or they were talking about Seattle, but either way, I think that'd be cool, man. And, you know, even if they couldn't go to the games, I bet you some fans would come up to tailgate their schools.
Dude, I think it would just be wild to see an actual Pac-12 football game at Memorial Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that'd be crazy.
Who has the nicest high school stadium around here?
There's a couple bangers. I mean, it depends on what you mean by around here. Pasco out in Eastern Washington has a really nice stadium. On this side of the mountains, I would say Popkeeney Field down in Woodinville is pretty solid. There's a couple big ones down in Tacoma that have big fields. Basically, your best fields are when it's like shared by a few schools. There's one that's, I guess it would be near Olympia. I can't remember. There's three schools that play out. It was a pretty nice high school stadium. Yeah, it depends. Some of the private schools actually have good ones too. Like, I want to say maybe Bellarmine Prep, Bishop Blanchette. So, I mean, there's some big venues out there. But yeah, mostly the ones that are shared by multiple schools like Popkeeney or Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, that would be my thought, is that like Eastside Catholic or like Bellevue would have a pretty decent field. But with that said,
Bellevue's is cool. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, Ted. Yeah, you would love it. Sorry to cut you off. What were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, with that said, like, as good as DeMath is in football, we don't technically have, like, a home field. Like, we used to always play over at Parkdale High School, and now I think they play at, like, this PG County, like, auxiliary field by the Washington's stadium.
Yeah, that's, you know, Bellevue and Pasco both are, you know, Portland's soccer team. I don't want to say their name, but their stadium, how it's a bowl that's sort of dug out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bellevue is like that, and so is Pasco. It's really cool. I mean, you could walk right up to it, you wouldn't know it was there, and then boom, it's just dug out of the ground, a big hole, and really cool, especially Pasco. I mean, Pasco's a flat piece of dirt with a big hole dug out. Bellevue's kind of built in the side of a hill. So, yeah, both really cool stadiums.
Yeah, you're right. Trust me. I am not a fan of Portland, but I do like their stadium.
Yeah, cool stadium. I know. I love how you could be like a block away and not even see it, and then just boom, you're there.
Yeah, it's got like character and stuff. Like, it's great. It's great the Sounders play at CenturyLink, but at the end of the day, it's a giant NFL pro stadium.
Yeah, 100%. I've never actually been in the Portland Stadium. I've only seen it from the street.
I mean, I've only sat there in the Sounders supporters section, but it's, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble, but the Timbers and the Timbers Army do a very fine job. Like, it burns me to give them credit, but as far as American soccer, especially, it's a top-notch atmosphere. All right, everybody vote.
Yeah, put mine in today. How about you guys?
I put mine in this morning up on Capitol Hill to Dropbox, and it was freaking awesome, man. I counted 10 people just from me, like, walking a block over to it. Like, I watched 10 people put them in, and I was like, man, it made me very happy to see people actually, like, out voting, and people seem legit excited. I was like, cool. Like, you forget, like, voting's such a great thing. A lot of people in other parts of the world just don't get to do it.
I hate to say it. That's just because people are pissed, man, and rightfully so. A lot of our money's being set on fire on some crazy programs right now. And the U.S. government is printing like $800 billion a month or something like that. I'm sure someone will fact check me. It is an insane number, whatever the statistic is. And, it, you know, it undermines the value of everyone's money. Not that there's parts of the policy I agree with, so I don't want to throw the whole thing under the bus. But it's wild. That's my point.
And you're right.
Unprecedented.
If it's anger, whatever it is, for me, I was just like, it just made me feel, you know me, I was smiling underneath my mask. Like, I even said out loud to myself, look at all these motherfuckers voting. So, yeah. And I think, I don't know. I think people forget too. It's just, you know, it's just part of the duty of being an American. You know, you got to get out there and vote.
Dude, how many people listen to this? Matt, you're going to have to bleep me, but how many people listening to this just like whispered into their headphones, like, forgot to vote.
Like, oh, it's a primary. I get it. People do. It happens.
So, yeah, trust, I didn't.
I've had that sitting here for 2 weeks and just turned it in today.
I didn't get the stuff in my new address. I moved. I updated my address with the DMV, and I thought that, like, I checked. There's a thing that, like, I thought that's what you do for voter registration. And the post office, like, knows to forward my stuff, but I never got anything in the mail. So, yeah, I got to get that sorted out by November.
Yeah, for sure. And then, did you see that explosion in Beirut today?
Oh, my God, yeah. I've watched it from seven or 17 angles? I watched so many videos of that thing. It is wild. I still haven't seen a confirmed story of what it is. The only thing I know, I saw a rumor floating around that was a seized weapons depot. But, you know, I know next to nothing about explosions. And that thing was massive. The shockwave, like, just moving out. I mean, shattering windows and stuff. It was crazy. What did you guys think of it?
That, right. So that's what it was for me. Like, I watched it this morning and stuff. And then I did the men's room. And then when I got home, I was, you know, in the back office taking care of some evening business. And I started watching a thread of all these, like, people in cars and stuff. I don't know that I've ever seen a shockwave like that from just people's point of views. So I was just like, oh my God, that is so scary.
Yeah, those things hit hard. And I know a lot of people will get eye damage, you know, damage to their cornea and stuff because they're looking at an explosion and then, you know, all the debris and stuff. I mean, it's flying out at obviously an incredibly high rate of speed. But yeah, the last numbers I saw right before we jumped on the podcast, this will probably have changed by the time this comes out, was 60 dead and hundreds injured, which doesn't shock me. It sounds like it was in a place that was next to the water. It was dockside, and so kind of an industrial district, so there was a lot less density there. So hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, man. I just, I, that just, I saw that and I was like, that is one of the crazier things I've ever seen in my life. And I mean, I'm sure people, if you're in the military or stuff, maybe you've seen that stuff and you're used to it. But for a civilian, I was just like, holy cow. I did not realize, like, you see shockwaves, but seeing the power and just the windows and like you see it. And then like a second and a half later, just.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that can be frustrating about all the building codes and requirements for sprinklers and, you know, airtight doors and, you know, California rated furniture in terms of fire code and stuff like that. I mean, it is pretty frustrating to deal with, but the nice thing is it prevents, you know, catastrophic stuff like that and really limits the spread of stuff. I mean, even with all the protests over the weekend in Seattle, was that last weekend? 2 weekends ago in Seattle, you know, lighting fires to businesses and stuff. I mean, those basically stay contained within one room, you know, because as soon as one of those fire sprinklers goes off, I mean, it's like pumping a fire hydrant into that room. There's a ton of water damage and that's what costs the money, but I mean, it's pretty isolated. So even with, you know, Trump saying that that building in Portland was $600 million and they had to send federal agents to keep it from burning down. I mean, they would have to burn it room by room, as far as I know, unless it is a very old and out of date building.
Yeah, for sure. It would be, completely crazy like that. So we were talking a little bit beforehand over at the Coke House. They are working on a golf simulator. So we started talking.
Clarify that.
What's that?
I mean, just casually dropping the Coke House in the conversation. You should clarify that Matt's last name is Coke.
All right, that's fair.
People who don't know. I mean, all we hear is you're on a boat, you're swimming, there's a pool, there's a hot tub, you're at the Coke House driving golf balls. Like, we don't know what's going on, man. I don't know your life. I don't know what it's like to be a celeb. Jesus.
It is what it is. It's an array of drugs, ladies, and watermelon.
It's Corona, man, and Ted's out there snorting money. People are dying on these streets, Ted Smith.
Yeah, I like to wait until I'm about 40 and during a pandemic to pick up that habit. Yeah. So Matt's last name is Coke. So over there, right, they're working on this golf simulator, and we were saying – like they have that, and then there's a pinball machine. I was like, basically, you're building a Topgolf. So then we started talking about Topgolf, and like, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like almost Topgolf is like, yeah, we're a driving range, but it's also like you can bring any of your friends, come hang out.
Yeah, it's the same way Lucky Strike is a bowling alley. Like at the end of the day, you're just sending the ball to the place with the objective of whichever it is. But I hear like it's about, you know, the experience, and like I've been to some ratty driving ranges. Like I've hit balls in I don't need any glitz and glamour to love hitting golf balls. But I understand. I haven't been to a Topgolf. Did they put one in up here?
Man, I swear they were talking about putting one in Bellevue or something, but I don't think it is.
In Kirkland, I thought.
Kirkland, yeah, I know there's one down outside of Portland, but I don't know that there is one in Washington State yet.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about going last time we were in Vegas, but you know how Vegas is, it's tough to get anything you thought you were gonna get done. That town just kind of takes over, and yeah, but from what I've seen, I don't know if you can play games with those different like colored ring things, or like what the deal is, or if the deal is just like pay a lot. Eat food, drink drinks, and, you know, golf's there too.
Yeah,
it looks like there is a Topgolf in Kirkland, but what I'm seeing is that they have different formats, and this is called Lounge by Topgolf. Looks like it's fully indoor.
Yeah, so that's the issue, right? I know down in, like, Vegas and L.A., they have, like, the giant ones where you do play all the games, like you're talking about, Matt, with, like, the little disc, and you can, like, chip into them and stuff.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. Either way, why would I go to one now? There's going to be one at your house.
It's in, dude. I was just playing Pebble Beach before this. It's surreal.
You guys just sound like you're speaking in code. I'm at the Coke House playing Pebble Beach. Jesus, boys. Not very mysterious.
You need some kelp?
You know the weed
drinking beers hitting Torrey Pines. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Catch me out at, oh, damn it. I'm trying to think of, what's the famous,
Augusta?
I was going to say, man, you know, I had chug three beers. Next thing I know, I'm hitting 72 at Bethpage.
Jesus.
Oh, Mr. Cobb, you got some emails for us there?
Oh, yes, I do. So first, a quick correction, sort of. Somebody emailed, we remember last week we were talking about my cool sort of, oh, just so you guys know, I can't see you. We were talking about cool sort of urban legends, and well, frankly, I made that cop topic up about 30 seconds before I said it. And so I was chatting with Billy via email back and forth, and he was in the construction management program at University of Washington, and he was saying he had heard the same story, but he tried to research and he couldn't really find much. So I did the same. I did a little bit of research, and the guy who built it was this guy Bassetti, and it was called...
Which story?
What's that? We were talking about the penis building in downtown Seattle.
The brick dick.
Yeah. AKA Bassetti's final erection. And it sounds like it's pretty... We're having trouble verifying whether Bassetti was gay or not, considering he had three wives during his lifetime and quite a few kids. So remains to be seen if that's true or not. The wealth of misinformation on this podcast continues. All right. That being said, urban legend in my town. Hey, what's good, guys? I live in Snohomish, and our urban legend is of this dirty cop, Officer Cook, who killed his wife and dumped her body in the Snohomish River. Have a great week, guys. Albino Matt.
All right. That seems about right. By the way, I don't know if we got the other correction in. Bo Van Pelt is not Scott Van Pelt's brother.
That's a good point, Ted. I thought that for so long. I don't even know like who the untrustworthy source was where I thought I got that. But yeah, I looked into that one as well. And yep.
Yeah, shout out to my cousin Tom who texted me and who's also from Maryland and was like, yeah, man, that's not Van Pelt's brother.
Yeah. You know, like Cobb said, wealth of misinformation around here.
Well, dude, it really does put to the test, like, you know, you're trying to do things in real time, and sometimes you don't think back, like, where did I actually hear that? Like, was I at a tailgate hammered, or did I read that in a legitimate, you know, news source or book? It's like, I don't really know.
And you got to be careful, Cobb, because if you say something, I, like, bookmark it mentally, and I'm like, Cobb taught me that. It's legit.
Oh, dude, well, you know, I mean...
It's also tough here on the podcast because, like, we get our emails and stuff, and then we got to wait a week to update them. Whereas, like, on the men's room, like, when I screw up something, the text line just blows up. And, like, no, 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 that's not right. Or it's like, well, I love it when it's like, no, Ted is right about this one.
That's got to feel good. Hometown urban legend, Friday Harbor. Woman went on trial for murdering her husband. No body was found. Community speculation was that she used a commercial meat grinder to go full Carol Baskins on the husband. Though this has never been proven, she was found guilty. All the land, August.
All the land.
Wow. I've heard the pig pen is how you can get rid of a body. Apparently, pigs eat everything.
Bones?
What? Yeah, like we brought up this topic on the men's room, and like all of a sudden, again, the text line just blew up because we were talking about, like, do you think she really disposed of the body? And it's like, feed them to the pigs. Put it in a hog farm. Feed them to the pigs. Like, oh, okay. I don't know why people know this, but okay.
There's some movie that talks about that, like, always be wary of a man that keeps pigs. And same thing. It's like, yeah, for destroying bodies. Hey, fellas. Hope all is well. This cop topic was indeed an easy one. My hometown is Cedro Woolley in Washington. Think about 10 minutes north of Mount Vernon. Oh, yeah, I know it well. I drove through there the other day. Up in Cedro, we are known for annually hosting the Lager Rodeo and have a pretty dominant wrestling team. Yeah, honestly, growing up, the only thing I knew about Cedro Woolley was how good the wrestling team was. But we are also known for the abandoned Northern State Mental Hospital that resides just east of our town. This hospital was open from 1910 to 1973 and during operation regularly performed electroshock therapy, lobotomies, and even forced chemical castration. The residents of this hospital also worked on the nearby livestock farm, and whether this was forced free labor or the patients actually enjoyed it is a little fuzzy. However, after its closing, rumors of ghost activities arose very quickly amongst the youth of our town, and it's still almost a rite of passage to go and explore up there at nighttime. Even the show Ghost Hunters came up to debunk the myth of it being haunted and came up short. Ghosts or not, it's still a creepy place to walk around at night. During the day, though, it has recently been transformed into a state park, and I actually go running up there a couple times a week. Either way, if you're ever up in Skagit Valley and want to go for a short hike and see some history, check it out. Wish you all the best. Alfie.
Alfie, what's up, man? Yeah, I feel like every abandoned mental hospital has that. There was one, man, in PG County, I want to say like Glendale or something, but same thing. Like, it was never my taste to go up there, but people went up there so much, they had to put the park police, like a cop had to, there was like a little substation to keep people out of it.
Yeah, there's another one. Alfie, thanks for the heads up. I probably will go check that out. I've been pretty bored during quarantine, and the girl I'm seeing loves ghosts. If you're ever out in Malpe, there's two cemeteries in the town of Malpe. Most people think that it's the Malpe Cemetery, but actually it's the old Malpe Cemetery. It was on the list of top five most haunted places in the U.S. I don't know who put that list out. I want to say it was the Travel Channel, but I'm not 100% sure. I went to it one time. It's behind like somebody's house. It's very difficult to get to. You take a long trail. Incredibly terrifying. I'll tell the story at some point on here. But good place to check out if you like haunted stuff.
Oh, count me out. I have zero desire to go do that.
But Ted, you were thriving at that 2 mile haunted trail you took me on.
Yeah. And I also got scared like a bitch in front of the girl I was dating.
Yeah, I know. Is that why you guys still aren't together? Or aren't still together?
Pretty sure that's it.
Dude, that trail was intense. I mean, that was the longest haunted trail I've ever seen by about 4x. I don't know how long we were walking, but we went through so many different scenes. Is that Mania Farms? Or what's that place called?
Is it Maris Farms?
Maris Farms. That's exactly what it is. Really cool if you ever have the chance. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10. Great operation.
Yeah, and that was back when you could still pay to shoot the real-life zombies with paintballs.
Has that been canceled?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know about that place. I know a lot of places have shut that down.
Oh, was that the place where a kid got hit by the school bus? Was that at that farm?
I don't know.
Back to the emails. And now he's part of the haunted trail. The books I would recommend are Ishmael and My Ishmael by Daniel Quinn. They're a very interesting take on the way life is and how we got here. They're older books, though, but I feel they still hold up. Roger. Thanks for the heads up. May check out. All right, last one, boys. Hello, gents, and greetings to the greatest podcast in all the mofo land. Funny Matt was talking about Lamb of God. The night before listening to this, I was watching their at-home live performance. Dude on the drums is insane. So, an urban legend from my hometown. I'm not really sure if it's real or just a rumor. There's a black Lambo that drives around Puyallup. Rumor is that the guy who drives it did gay porn one time, spent all the money on that car. Like I said, not sure, but when I see that car, I smile. Questions for you. That's honestly hilarious.
That is one of the most random urban myths I've ever heard in my life.
I love that. Question for you guys. Would you do that for your dream car? Take care, boys. Jaden.
I'm not a big car guy, so.
Yeah, me neither.
No, but I'm sure I have a price. Like, and what am I doing? Am I pitching? Am I catching? Am I just pleasing them?
I think you're S and a D.
Yeah, anyhow, you know, I'd have to sit down with the accountants, but, you know, I'm sure there's a price.
I mean, you know, I would say the devil's in the details, man. You know, what kind of Lambo are we talking? What kind of D are we talking? You know, how far is this footage going to go? What's the lighting like? I mean, you know, is there sound? I mean, there's a lot of variables here. It's too tough to give a blanket answer.
Is it inside a golf simulator? I don't know.
Ah, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah, man. All right. Well, I think I know a little bit what he did over the weekend, but let's see what's matinin'.
You sure do, Ted. You were a big part of that Saturday and into Sunday. It was, let's see, what we didn't talk about. It was fun giving you the cinnamon French toast crunch coffee that I've been working with. Got the French toast coffee from Bones Coffee Company. Put it in with some cinnamon toast crunch creamer. That's been another quarantine favorite for me. So I was very pleased when I came outside the next morning and you were you were like, can I get a cup? I was like, oh, dude, I got you covered.
I know. You were just like, let's go upstairs. I'll make it right now. I was like, thank goodness. I could use a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun because you were up at 6 because you wanted to watch F1, but we couldn't accommodate that. So our apologies.
You guys could. I was an idiot. Cobb, before we go to sleep, like, we're in that room with the giant screen, right? We've watched an MMA fight in there. And Matt, like, 3 times, it's like, the password is this. The password is this. And I'm like, just leave it on. It's fine. So I wake up. It's like 5:55. They're doing, like, the anthems and everything. And they're gonna about to clear the grid. Come on. 20 seconds later, they're going to fire them up. And for some reason, like an idiot, I'm moving to, like, sit up. And I grab the tablet and press a button. And then it's just gone. And I'm like, oh, no. So then it's like, I'm freaking out. I can't remember. Matt will tell you the panic in my text. So I'm like, dude, you got to help me. So then I just went down to the dock, like looked at the water around 6:20. I just said, all right, we're not going to watch it. Went back upstairs, went to sleep, and then woke back up and ran into Matt.
Oh, man.
But it timed.
That's brutal.
Yeah, I watched the replay when I got home, so it timed out pretty good.
And
Ted, the more you get into F1, the more you got to see that documentary, Santa. I promise you it will bring you to tears.
Yeah, it's why I don't want to watch it right now.
Yeah, fair enough. It's beautiful, though.
Yeah, I need to check out Rush, too, that Tim was telling me about.
Yeah, I keep hearing about Rush, too. I thought you guys were talking about the band. And I was like, what did Ted and Taryn just do, like, the Freaky Friday? Like, what is going on? Why are they talking about Rush over there? Oh, it's a movie. Yeah, and the funniest part about that is Ted had the pass. So our entertainment system, like the remote control, is on a tablet. It's a program on a tablet, and the tablet is password protected. I told Ted the password multiple times before he went to bed.
Correct.
Turned the TV on so he wouldn't even need it. I don't know what button he pushed, but he had the password right, except it's a proper noun, and he kept capitalizing the first letter, and it's all lowercase. Like, you had it, man. So I'm very proud of you for remembering it. I mean, like you said, that boat ride was pretty – it was still light out. You know, we were out there at sunset, and so it was still pretty early. We were up for a while, and you had decided, oh, we're staying here. And you had a lot of drinks in you by the time – I was telling you the password, even though I repeated it a couple times. The fact that you were right the next morning was very impressive to me. It's like, no, it's not capital, man.
I know.
I always said that the first time. It's like, no capitals, all lowercase. And then, but I repeated the actual word like three or four more times. So yeah, that was fun. I got what's called a swim buddy. Did I talk about this last week? I'm trying to think when it showed up. But either way, I've been swimming in the lake, like for like, it's like an 800 yard swim down and back. And swimming is tough. Like Cobb, I know you played water polo and swam, you know, through college, and just mad respect, dude. Like,
thanks, man. Efficiency is key, but it's pretty tough.
Yeah. So I had just got this like it's an inflatable buoy that you just like strap to your waist and it just kind of like hangs out on the water and you don't even notice it's there. But if you cramp up or you need a break, you can just float with it. And it's also like neon yellow so boats can see you, because that's the main concern is visibility as far as I think about it. But I use that thing a lot on the first swim. So I'm very excited to get that endurance up. And yeah, swimming just feels good, man. But that first one, I came back, my lungs and heart felt like they're about to explode. My biceps were on fire. My quads were on fire. I was like, what is going on? Like, I do squats all the time. I involve my biceps in a lot of things. I don't do a ton of isolation curls anymore, but like I do a lot of rows. I incorporate curls into other stuff. And it doesn't matter. I just felt like my arms and legs were going to fall off. So, yeah, swimming and practicing the drums on my little practice setup. Yeah, man, it's been a good week of quarantine. And it was awesome to see Ted and Sean, and seeing Sean get in the water for the first time was just like, I feel like it breathed a whole new energy into the day. Like, we had an awesome first part of the day, but then seeing him conquer that like new experience, it just like elevated things, and we finished strong until whenever the hell we went to bed.
Yeah, for sure. That was, and the last thing I'll say about him swimming is, Cobb, by now he really likes it, right? But now it's nighttime, so he wants to go back down to the fish, or back down to the dock and go fishing. So we're sitting around the hot tub, maybe enjoying a little herbal and fresh refreshment, if you will. So Matt and I are just like, dude, like, it's dark. If you go down on that dock, you got to put on the PFD. And then it's like, you know what, we'll just go down there with you. So after he's done fishing a little bit, like, he jumps back in. But now he's just sitting there floating. He's like, this is great. And finally, I just start tugging him in. He's like, what are we doing? I'm like, well, I'm just treading water, and I'm drunk and getting tired. So you're done for the night.
You get to float.
Shut him down. That's funny.
Yeah, so that was super awesome. Other stuff's happened, but like, that's, yeah, it's just been an awesome week, and it was great to see you guys.
Yeah, man. It and Cobb said it best. It was just nice to be like, oh man, summer, and like just doing some summer stuff, like just pandemic, like whatever's going on. It was just, you didn't have to think about it for a while.
One more thing, I forgot, this was big. It honestly, it could have made the pre what's mattening part of it. I finally fucking shotgunned an NA beer.
Oh my god, I forgot.
Yeah, baby. Woo 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 woo.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that was so fun. Felt like I did all right, you know. Getting the hole was kind of a pain. that was not smooth, and it wasn't the fastest one, but it was very clean and one pull.
Kind of like teaching Sean to swim, we forgot things. Like, hand Matt the keys. They're like, yeah, dude, just poke a hole, like shotgun it, let's go. And then he's got like a little hole, and we're like, well, you gotta do this and scrape it with the key, but don't bust your finger. Like, I don't, same thing. It's hard to explain something you just take for granted. Like, yeah, just shotgun beers. It doesn't matter. Shotgunning beers, and I'm pretty sure Sean almost puked when I chugged that warm beer the next day.
Oh my god, yeah. The next morning, Ted just like, is that just a move that you know you can handle warm beer, and it's just like a power move?
It's just a power move I knew I could do. There was a couple beers that sat on the dock all day. Now they're in the sun. Like, they've gone past the sweating phase, Cobb. They're just warm.
Oh, Jesus.
And we walk down there. Sean's kind of hurt, and then I just go, oh, we got one left. And just chugged it.
Established dominance. Jesus.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Basically, just all that talk about food. You guys had me kind of thinking about burgers. It's no secret that I'm a big fast food guy, although I try to avoid it. I love hitting Wendy's. I have a Dick's right across the street from my house. Dick's Burgers, for those who aren't from the area. So, Cobb topic this week. If McDonald's had an angry meal, what would it be? Feel free to email us. Email at thepodcast.com or hit us up on the Twitter machine at thepodcast with two E's. If McDonald's had an angry meal, what would be in that box?
Is it like, is it called the angry meal? Am I angry when I get there?
The angry meal. It's not the happy meal. I'll take an angry meal.
Oh, man. I think an angry meal has to be a Big Mac, like 10 nuggets, a large fry, and a bucket of soda. Complete opposite of a style meal.
Or for me, I'm thinking, yeah, what?
If I'm just going to be angry, it'd be like having a package of 20 nuggets and no sauce.
That's what I was thinking, is like one spicy nugget in that box, no sauce.
Yeah,
it was super spicy.
I was thinking, like, you know, regardless of what it is, because Happy Meals, you can get burgers, but I always got chicken nuggets. But, like, I thought it's like a meal you get for someone that you're angry with, almost like a gag gift, but like for real. And like the tomato is like wilted. The lettuce is soggy. The burger is like burnt to a crisp. The bun's rock hard. The nuggets are freaking rocks. Like, you know, and there's just no fries. They don't even mess with the fries. They're like, you're not getting any. And the soda is watered down, because sometimes they get those ratios off at those places, and there's nothing more frustrating. I mean, there is, but you get where I'm going with that. But yeah, just something like, I'm angry with this person, and I'm going to bring them the worst imaginable things from McDonald's.
Yeah, like the Big Mac is missing that middle bun and the secret sauce.
Dude, yeah, Matt saying that reminded me of we might have talked about this on the podcast, but you know how people in prison get like their last meal or whatever? The craziest last meal I've ever heard is some guy who wanted a black cup of coffee and a pack of cigarettes. It's like, dude, whatever crime you're accused of, you effing did it. Guilty.
Yeah. Stone cold killer. A black coffee and a pack of cigs. Like,
and a pack of cigarettes for his last meal. Dude, I love that. Every time I think of that, it makes me laugh. And like, it's also like ice through my veins, you know, like Jesus.
Isn't that the joke? That's the standard breakfast in France. It's like a espresso or something and a cigarette.
Probably. Maybe a croissant. Yeah. Jesus.
All right. Well, there you go. Still doing the home episodes. Gentlemen, I do have some bad news. There has been a decision. So for the rest of 2020, we are doing home episodes.
Wow. For the rest of 2020. Damn.
All right.
Game done changed.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's a spicy meatball.
It is. I might actually have to finally go buy a real microphone.
Dang. I think I have extras of this one if you like the sound of it.
Oh, wow. I love the sound of free.
Are you guys getting out of – are you guys still doing your show from the office the rest of the year, or are you guys doing from home too?
Now, like, right now we're still doing it, and there's a couple shows doing stuff, but basically it's like if you're not doing a show, like, you can't bring anybody in, nobody else is going to be there, and I think, like, most of the office is going to stay empty.
Wow. Dang, man, that's crazy. That's wild.
Yeah, trust me. Like, you kind of envision these things are coming, but hearing it, and then seeing your two faces, like, oh yeah, by the way, so we're officially doing home episodes. Because I mean, oh, poor Migs. Like, I don't think they've done a Migs cast in months.
Well, dang. Well, air hug, boys. Looks like I'm not gonna be seeing you in person.
Well, I'm sure we can still social distance a little bit and figure out a way.
No, you're dead to me, Ted Smith.
So all right. A lot of outdoor activities.
Actually, I'm going to see you this weekend.
All right, there you go. There's the last and latest The Home episode. Everybody can relax. I've been swimming now. I feel better. If you get a chance, try a watermelon burger. Experiment something. Experience life. All right, there you go. For MCTP, for Cobb, and me, Ted Smith, this is The Podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.